It's time for the Wisp Politics Book Club, celebrating Wisconsin authors and books about politics, government, and history.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jeff Mayers from WispPolitics.com here with the latest edition of the Wisp Politics Book Club. And today we're talking with the author of George Washington, A Man of Action, and that is John Kaminsky. And Professor Kaminsky is founder of the Center for the Study of the American Constitution at UW-Madison. And he is painting an intimate word picture of the father of America in this book, George Washington, Man of Action, published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Hello. Good to be here. I'm fine.
So, you know, I think it's an appropriate time to talk about George Washington, because there seems to be a lot of uncertainty about where the presidency is going these days. Do you find it nice to reflect upon George Washington and his words versus some of the words in the body politic today?
Well, sure, there's no question about that. But certainly, there was as much uncertainty at that time about the direction the country would take and how the Constitution would be interpreted and what policies and actions Washington should pursue. And in fact, he asked James Madison, who was a close friend of his by this time. They had worked together on a number of projects during the 1780s. But Washington asked Madison to write his inaugural address, which he did. There was a previous draft written that was 2.5 hours long, but that was far too long for Washington and was somewhat magisterial. So Washington asked Madison to write a new draft, and it turned out to be 11 and a half minutes long. So that was much more to Washington's liking. But when Washington then became president, he asked Madison, who was a member of the House of Representatives, if he would serve sort of as a protocol secretary, very informal. But Washington would regularly ask Madison for advice as to how should I handle the situation? What should I do? Virtually every morning, little tiny James Madison, only about 5'2", would go into the office with 6'3" George Washington and explain what the options were and give his recommendation. And so every single step that they were taking, whether it would be the president or the Congress, was on new ground, and they found it very difficult to proceed, knowing that it was going to be a lot easier for those who would follow. Well, it hasn't turned out to be a whole lot easier. We're still facing some of these difficult questions.
Yes, they were setting the customs, but they were setting the tone for what the presidency was to be.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I guess George Washington is such a revered figure in our history. There doesn't seem to be much blowback about, you know, new revelations about George Washington, the man. So he's held up pretty well. I think he dare say he may even hold up well in today's social media. I don't know. But we view him also as a man of few words. But you have a book of quotations, so he was a man of letters. Is that where you got most of your quotes?
Yes. Well, in the end, there back in the 1930s, there was a documentary history of his papers that went to 39 volumes. There's a new edition of the Washington Papers that is underway right now at the University of Virginia, and it already has published around 60 volumes, and there should be, they expect perhaps in the 70s, between 70 and 80 volumes of his papers. Now, a lot of those he didn't write himself, that is, people wrote to him, if he includes both the incoming and the outgoing correspondence. But he had a huge collection of papers, many of them personal and quite a few public, and most heavily during the Revolution when he was commander-in-chief, but also afterwards when he was a private citizen for 8 or 9 years, and then he became the first president. So a lot of papers there as well.
So I'm going to ask you for some of your favorite quotes and maybe some that are still current today for today's politics and all that a little bit later. But I want to also tell our listeners about your first portrait, word portrait book was on Alexander Hamilton, From Obscurity to Greatness.
Yes.
I don't know whether you caught the wave or you preceded the wave from the Broadway hit. So why was Alexander Hamilton before George Washington?
Well, I've started collecting these descriptions of individuals 20 years ago and kept doing it in sort of my spare time in the evenings. It's sort of a hobby of mine. Anytime a new documentary edition comes out, a new volume, I'll go through it and find these little tidbits. Sometimes they're only a few words long. Sometimes they're several pages long. And I'm looking at character issues and physical description and everyday activities to try to put some flesh and muscle on the skeletal outline that we know of the founding generation. And I published a book with the University of Virginia Press that has 30 of these people, and the people that we all know, Washington, Jefferson, Madison, Hamilton, Franklin, the three Adamses, John, Samuel, and Abigail. So that was about 10 years ago or so, but I've continued to collect, and my database now has about 450 people. Probably, if you would print it all up, it would be between maybe 5,000 and 6,000 pages, so a lot of material. So it wasn't that the play influenced me. I was collecting this a long time before that. But I wanted to do two volumes at a time. And so I selected with Washington would certainly be the first. Well, who would go good with Washington? I thought Hamilton would go good. So I had those two, and I actually submitted both manuscripts to the Historical Society Press on the same day, the 1st of February of last year, 2016, and the society obviously went with the flow with Hamilton, and they published that book fairly quickly, in about 4 or 5 months it was, and left sort of Washington to hang, and that volume just came out last week. So
they were the ones that were caught up in the hysteria around the.
Well, play. I wouldn't say caught up in the hysteria. They obviously saw.
I'm joking a little bit. Yeah.
They obviously saw the public interest that was there in Hamilton, and they wanted to work me to the bone to get all kinds of interviews set up to do Hamilton, and yours is now with Washington, but even Hamilton intrudes here.
Okay, well, you know, but after all, I mean, presses have to, go where the opportunity is.
Of course.
Okay,
So I didn't object to that, and now we're working on Jefferson and Madison, and Madison just about finished. I'll be submitting that in maybe 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay.
So that'll be the third in the series.
Well, great. I couldn't think of. You know, if I had to come up with the big three, I think I'd probably agree with this this run. So how about some favorite quotes? I don't know if I need to cue you up for a topic or how you want to proceed.
Well, there are a number of very nice quotations. All of them are nice. But let me give you a couple from Abigail Adams, who happens to be a very close observer on the scene. Being married to John Adams, who's the first vice president, and she wrote in July of 1789, describing Washington. She had seen him before during the Revolution, but now she writes, this is in New York where the Capitol is located. She says, "Our august president is a singular example of modesty and diffidence. He has a dignity which forbids familiarity mixed with an easy affability which creates love and reverence." That's a pretty nice quotation,
yes.
Don't you think? Now, a little bit later, remember, she's married to the first vice president, and if something happens to Washington, if he should happen to die, and he was close to death three times in his presidency, John Adams would become president. Abigail wasn't too in favor of that. She needed, she understood the country needed Washington to establish precedence and secure the Union. But in 1790, she again wrote, this time to her sister, describing Washington, saying, Washington has so happy a faculty of appearing to accommodate and yet carrying his point, that if he was not really one of the best intentioned men in the world, he might be a very dangerous one. He is polite with dignity, affable with familiarity, distant without haughtiness, grave, I should have said affable without familiarity, distant without haughtiness, grave without austerity, modest, wise, and good. These are traits in his character which peculiarly fit him for the exalted station he holds. And God grant that he may hold it with the same applause and universal satisfaction for many, many years, as it is my firm opinion that no other man could rule over this great people and consolidate them into one mighty empire but he who is set over us. So isn't that a nice little statement?
Oh, yes. I mean, is it fair to say he was, if there were popular opinion polls at the time, he would he'd be up around 60-70% probably?
No. He'd be around 100%.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there was
very few people who publicly disagreed. Or slammed George Washington.
Well, they certainly understood who he was, and even his political opponents felt very strongly in favor of him. In fact, in England, he was the second most popular man in the country, the first being King George III. So they recognized Washington's greatness. When Jefferson, in the mid 1790s, he split with Washington, and so in 1814, this is 15 years after Washington's death, Jefferson was asked if he could describe Washington. And Jefferson wasn't accustomed to giving out faint praise. But he wrote of Washington that his mind was great and powerful. Without being of the very first order, his penetration strong, though not so acute as that of a Newton, Bacon, or Locke. And as far as he saw, no judgment was ever sounder than Washington's judgment. It was slow in operation, being little aided by invention or imagination, but sure in conclusion. He was incapable of fear, meeting personal danger with the calmest unconcern. Perhaps the strongest feature in his character was prudence, never acting until every circumstance, every consideration was maturely weighed, refraining if he saw a doubt, but when once decided, going through with his purpose, whatever obstacles opposed. His integrity was most pure, his justice most inflexible. And this letter goes on for another page or so. And at the end, he said, Washington had the singular opportunity to lead his country 8 years in a military campaign for independence and 8 years in the civilian capacity. And he says, never once did he violate the law. And then he said, Washington understood how he, Jefferson, feared Hamilton and his tendency toward monarchy. But Washington said, don't worry about that. It's not to be feared. He said, I believe that the Constitution is an experiment in a republican form of government. And he was determined, Washington was determined, that that experiment be given a fair chance if it took the last drop of his blood. And so that was the sense of Washington. People understood that he was 100% committed to what he felt was his duty to make sure that the country survived in battle and in peace, and that it wouldn't fall apart. When Jefferson came back from France, he told Washington that there was only one difference between the American Revolution and all other revolutions. He said, that one difference is you. You're the one person that people look up to, and they respect, and they trust, and they will allow the government to go ahead. Even the opponents of the Constitution trusted Washington.
Wow. Very enlightening. I was struck, though, by when you said prudence, and I thought, well, so even if he had the ability to tweet, I doubt whether George Washington would have been tweeting, but that's for another day, perhaps. That's a speculative Broadway play, perhaps. Okay, so...
Well, it's interesting that you took this word prudence, because I'm doing another book. It's called The Founder's Character. And in that, I've looked at many different character traits. And gathering all this material together, I've come up with what I think is the single most important character trait. And I've mentioned this to a lot of groups that I've spoken to, a lot of teacher groups. And I said, what is the most important character trait? And only one person has gotten it right, and that is, I think, prudence. And what that meant for these folks back then was the ability to understand the problem and then bring the appropriate resources to address that problem.
Okay.
They need both insight and ability to address certain concerns.
Okay, well, thank you very much, John Kaminsky. He's the author of George Washington, A Man of Action, A Word Portrait. And this is a book published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The WIS Politics Book Club is brought to you by generous sponsors. See them in the archive of these podcasts at wispolitics.com.
There's hot times in old town, downtown tonight. Hot times in old town tonight.